Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In 1897, the daring Belgian commander Adrien de Jurlage set out to become the first explorer to visit the Earth's magnetic South Pole. He didn't make it. The commander and his crew got stuck in the sea ice and instead set a different record. They became the first people ever to spend an entire winter at the bottom of the Earth. Not everyone escaped with their lives or their sanity. Julian Sancton is author of a new book about the expedition. It's called Madhouse at the End of the Earth, the Belgica's Journey into the Dark Antarctic Night. Julian, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
So what did people know of Antarctica at the time? In 1897, how uncharted was it?
People didn't even know if it was a continent. It was believed that it was very likely to be an ocean covered with ice, the same way that the Arctic is. There hadn't been a serious expedition of any kind since in the last 50 years. Its fauna, its flora, its geology, its coastlines were all but unknown at that time. And so it was quite a daunting proposition for a couple dozen men, many of whom were in no way prepared for this, to explore the great white unknown.
Yeah, no doubt. They were a bit of a ragtag group, weren't they? I mean, they didn't speak the same language. They had very little cold weather, polar experience. What was it like on board?
The ship was riven with divisions. French-speaking Walloons didn't get along with the Dutch-speaking Flemings. Then there was the resentment between the Belgian sailors, which were, some of them were a notch below pirates in terms of discipline, and the Norwegian sailors that de Jurlage brought in because of their experience of cold weather. And then there was no psychological screening the way there is today in these sorts of missions.
And I think it's important to say there were also a couple of scientists on board, and after they sailed south for many days and weeks even, the crew did make it to Antarctica. They made 20 landings, and it delighted everybody to be in this place that they had only dreamt of. What did the scientists find when they got off the ship?
I mean, they found a world out of fantasy. It was just, and it's one that I was lucky enough to visit a couple of years ago in December of 2018. I traveled to the Jurlage Strait, which is named after the commander of the Belgica, and it is one of the most sublime places on Earth. It really, and it hasn't changed, or at least it hasn't appeared to change in the last 120 years. Of course, the ecosystem is slowly breaking down and being threatened by climate change, but it looks identical. And what they found was a land that it looks like imagine if the Himalayas, somehow the sea had risen halfway up the Himalayas, and the animals there were not used to humans, and so they could approach them. And the scientists discovered more than 100 new species. Many of them were insects, but for a scientist, this must have been pure bliss. But later, that bliss gave way to terror as when they drifted into the Bellingshausen Sea on their way to the South Magnetic Pole. And by that time, the winter ice had started to set in.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. The bliss turned to terror, because at that point, the commander had a choice, right? He could have either turned back or sailed deeper into the ice and deeper into winter. Why did he keep going? Because he knew he was going to get stuck.
This is one of the questions that I endeavored to solve with this book. He knew that if he turned back without having achieved the goal of reaching the South Magnetic Pole, that he would be lambasted in the Belgian press. Or at least he thought he would be, and that scared him more than the prospect of spending a winter in the Antarctic. He knew that if he managed to survive the winter, he and his men would become the first to spend a winter in the Antarctic. And so that in itself would be something to boast about. In expeditions of this kind, great stories are as valuable a resource as gold.
Wow. So that's like pure hubris, right? I mean, how unprepared was the crew for what happened on May 16th then, when the sun goes down and doesn't come back for 70 days?
Well, I would say that only one man was prepared for that, and that man was Frederick Cook. He was the ship's surgeon. He was an American. He had spent a few grueling winters in the Arctic among the Inuit of Greenland. Even he was very much opposed to the idea of wintering in the ice. In fact, everybody but the commander was, which is why it's such a baffling decision that de Jurlage would have sailed to the south. I mean, that set the stage for a really horrendous experience in among the men, because they felt that this was something they had no control over. They felt betrayed. And in addition, when the sun sets and the cold sets in, their bodies and minds began to break down. They were subjected not just to scurvy, but to a sort of a mysterious polar malaise that made their heart rates beat erratically. Their muscles atrophied. They sank deep into depression, and some were brought to the brink of insanity. And two men actually lost their minds, one of whom never recovered. This was an incredible ordeal. It's thanks to Cook and his ingenuity.
He had an idea of what was going on. He actually introduced penguin meat into the crew's diets, much to their disgust, actually, but it helped.
Indeed, he thought back to his time among the Inuit and realized that even though the Inuit had a traditional diet of fresh meat and no access to vegetables or fruit for much of the year, that they didn't exhibit the signs of scurvy. And so he reasoned quite brilliantly that there must be something in fresh meat that contains all that the body needs to ward off the disease. And he was right. It wouldn't be for another couple decades that we'd realize why he was right. It's that the meat of all animals, barring a few exceptions like human and guinea pig, contains vitamin C. And those who took his advice did much better. And those who refused to swallow the revolting penguin meat, which he recommended to be eaten raw, by the way, kept on sliding down the slope of scurvy and a disease that, if you don't intervene, leads inevitably to death.
So how, under those conditions, did they get out?
Well, again, our friend Frederick Cook, by convincing the men that it was somehow possible that they might extricate this ship from a floe of ice more than a mile in diameter. It was baffling to them at first. This idea was ludicrous. It was almost as if he had suggested that they flap their arms and fly home.
Well, I mean, they had even tried to blow the ice up with bombs, and that didn't work. So how could any plan work, right?
Well, yeah, he thought Cook, over the time when the sun was absent, had come to revere the sun. And so he wanted to find a way to let the sun reach the bottom layers of the ice. And so he started digging and digging in the pack ice from the prow of the ship to the closest body of water in the hopes that the sun would melt the ice along that line and that the ship could somehow pry open a passage. And though it didn't work, it inspired these men who were broken. They were depleted, exhausted, and yet they were so inspired that they came together. They came up with a plan that was even more ambitious and even more unrealistic, which is to saw an even longer canal. They ended up sawing through more than a mile's worth of ice that was as many as 20 feet thick. And it was just a masterpiece of glacial engineering that involved moving pans of ice that were the size of a soccer field and constantly combating the pressure of the ice that was trying to close this canal. So it was one of the great battles between man and nature, and eventually man won out.
Well, it is such a story of endurance, and I wonder if you look at it more than 120 years later now, like, are there things that we still can take away scientifically from the experience that these men had wintering over in the Antarctic?
Yes, and in fact, NASA has studied this, among other expeditions, for lessons to apply to the next great frontier of human exploration, which is the extraplanetary voyages and manned missions to Mars. The Belgica has been studied in particular for the ways in which they dealt with the problems of food, but also with the role played by Frederick Cook. It's been suggested that the role of the physician is among the most important, because it's his job to tend to the mental and physical health of everybody on board. And they will need to be a jack of all trades. Much like Cook was, they would need to have a problem-solving, personality. And so when I spoke to Jack Stuster, who is a consultant for NASA, who is closely studied polar expeditions, he told me that when he's designing the physician role, he thinks of Frederick Cook.
Julian Sancton is author of Madhouse at the End of the Earth, the Belgica's Journey into the Dark Antarctic Night. You can read some of it at Here and Now. Julian, thank you very much. Just a fascinating tale.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.